If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you once again for the 10th or 11th straight year, then.
I think it's the 11th.
11th straight year from the Super Bowl. And Radio Row here at the Miami Beach Convention Center. We'll be here all week on 98.5 The Sports Hub, online at 98.5thesportshub.com. And the app, NBC Sports Boston, follows us, as usual, where we're beamed across New England and the country. And we'll be here Monday through Friday. That's the deal. This is still a reentry Monday. It's still presented by East Boston Savings Bank. We still are Felger and Maz with a title sponsor presented by DraftKings. DraftKings brings us to you every day, no matter where we are, every minute, every hour of every day. DraftKings, the presenting sponsor of Felger and Maz. This hour of our coverage is brought to you by Woodbridge Wines. Okay, that's going to be the hour of this coverage here from Miami. And we'll have plenty of stuff to get to on the football and the game and all of that. But I think we do have to start with our thoughts on Kobe Bryant and his passing yesterday, and that story. And I'll tell the people out there that if you want to weigh in on Kobe Bryant, if you want to call on Kobe or say anything on Kobe, let's do it now, okay? And if you want to do it throughout the day, you can. But we're going to get to some other stuff throughout the day. But we'll carve out this segment and the next one specifically for your thoughts on Kobe. So, Jimmy, if you could open the phones for me at 617-779-0985. And if you want to weigh in on Kobe Bryant and his passing, now is the time to do it. So, Maz or Murray, do you have an opening thought on that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, Kobe was a obviously one of the, call it, 5 or 10 greatest non-centers in NBA history. And I know that that's a very specific description, but again, we've had this discussion a million times. You take the centers out of it, and he's, you know, up there with the elites of the game. And the story is, there's one word for it and only one word for it, and that is tragic. At the end of the day, what you had here was a guy taking his daughter to her game. I mean, that's really what it was. It could just as easily have been a car accident, and we'd all feel the same way. There is something about the planes always, or the, you know, the, in this case, a helicopter. You immediately start thinking of, you know, Rocky Marciano, Roberto Clemente, Thurman Munson, all these you know, great athletes, who many of whom were in the prime or just after retirement, that were going on to do various things and suffered these tragic ends. So he was never my favorite player. He was never my favorite guy, okay? But he was a father. And I do feel like later in his life, especially, he had started to really turn a corner in terms of maturity and everything else. And there's nothing to say to it, say about it, other than, you know, it's true, particularly for the girl.
Oh yeah,
13 years old. To
I mean, he had a few kids on that thing, but
they're absolutely right, Murray. I mean, it's a horrific story.
Yeah, it's sad, and you know, for the age of him alone, the kids involved, and everyone involved in that crash. I mean, that's just shows you the fragility of life. And like Maz said, and I think Jackie McMullen, she has a great piece on ESPN, who she touches on the complicated history of Kobe Bryant, and there is a complicated history there. I'm like Maz, like, he's not my favorite guy as a person because of what happened in Colorado, but it did seem. And it just seemed genuine, too. Like, there was a second act with this guy, just in terms of him being a dad. I mean, like Matt just said, this was no different than Mike, you taking your daughter to lacrosse practice or something like that. That's all he was doing. He was taking his kid to basketball, to a basketball game. That's all it was. It's just that he's affluent, and he took a helicopter instead of a car, and it's a tragic accident. And I'll tell you, like, I don't remember anything on this level, based on sports, maybe Steve McNair, where it spread like wildfire. Like, I was at the airport about to get on my plane, and someone near me went, like, gasped, looking at their phone, like, Kobe Bryant's dead. And everyone around is like, what? What are you talking about? There's no way. It's, how old is he? 40? And then, bang, everyone looks at their phone, looks at Twitter, and immediately everyone's just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh my God.
It's certainly one of those that, you know, you're going to remember where you were when you heard the news, like one of those.
Yeah.
One of those deals. And that's where it's that's the magnitude of it, is that you're going to remember it for the rest of your life where you were when you saw that news for the first time. And so that's like that tells you, you know, what it meant to everybody and what he meant to everybody. And it's definitely complicated. It's definitely, especially if you're in an opposing city like Boston. I mean, love, hate. I mean, yeah. Hated him as an athlete or a competitor, or, you know, grudgingly respected him. I don't know. It was, you know, like you said, Maz, you know, not a lot of people's favorite person. And he had his mistakes, and maybe his were worse than some others, or not. So it's, you know, it's complicated in that regard. But the part that does hit home for me, for sure, is the father stuff.
No question.
And to me, it's, you know, it does speak to his legacy. And the thing I would say that I respect the most about him by far, or relate the most to him, or just sort of attach to, and that is, you know, the ethic and his worldview. In other words, you know, he had this great competitiveness and this great killer instinct that he didn't really need to have. His dad was an NBA player, right?
I mean, Joe Bryant. Yep.
So how many? And not that his dad was a superstar, but how many kids of athletes are just sort of,
they just show up.
My dad was in the NBA, yeah. And like, I'm all set, and they don't have that drive or that fire. And man, he did. Okay, so he did, where he became an all-time great, and now his kids and the way he approached his kids was the same thing. There wasn't a bunch of layabouts or whatever. I mean, he was recommitted to the sport of basketball with his daughter on the AAU circuit, on the hyper-competitive, you know, basketball circuit, where he didn't have to have that mindset. She didn't have to have that mindset. The Bryants didn't have to have that mindset. And I think a lot of athletes' families sort of fall into the opposite thing. But boy, that fire and that competitiveness and how important the sport was to him and how important sports was to him and them. Like, that's what sort of really hits home to me. And again, it's, he was taking his daughter to a basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can all relate to
absolutely
him.
Right. That's the part of it that, and again, it, you know, the means are different, as Murray said, but this could have been any parent taking their kid to a game. I mean, really, that's, you know, that's sort of the really human part of the story.
And didn't he hustle back to do it too? Wasn't he in Philadelphia on Saturday night for that LeBron moment?
That I can't speak to.
So I don't know that either.
I thought LeBron passed him as third all-time on the scoring list.
I don't know if he was there. There was just like tweets back and forth.
He tweeted it. I know, yeah. He tweeted it.
He wasn't there?
That I don't know. I mean, I can't speak to that. He may have been, for all I know. But it sounds like the, you know, and Murray linked to this too on Twitter. It sounded like the whole helicopter idea with Kobe originated out of being able to get to and from his, and this is not terribly unusual for athletes like that or figures like that, right? To get to and from games and avoid the traffic, particularly in that town. Like, you can't get anywhere in 10 minutes in L.A., so you have to circumvent it. I get all of that. And, you know, there was so much stuff on the air yesterday about it. And I had a nice long trip down here, so I had plenty of time to watch it all, listen to it all. But for someone like me or even you, someone put it this way, and the generation after us, he was their Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right? And so they don't remember Jordan. And some of the stuff that went on yesterday, like the 24-second violations at the start of the game.
Oh, wasn't that great?
I thought that was like one of the greatest things I've ever seen in sports.
Great stuff.
I mean, both sides taking the 24 violations, turning the ball while the crowd cheered. And I thought that was a real great testament to the impact he had on many of the players in that league. To me, that was like the coolest thing, or the coolest part of the whole thing.
You know, him as a player, I mean, you say top 5 to 10. You want to take out the centers out. I mean, you want to have this conversation, just the pure sports conversation,
sure.
What he was. And you take out the centers, okay? I mean, I think he's, I think I have him ahead of LeBron. I mean, frankly, I don't know.
Better killer instinct.
I was a better player.
Yeah.
I was a better shooter. You know, he's not the passer that LeBron is, or the physical force that LeBron is.
I mean, he won more titles. The only guy, I always, you know, again.
So the Shaq titles.
Right. I always put an asterisk there because of Shaq. And I say asterisk. It's not fair to Kobe. But at the end of the day,
it was more about Shaq than it was with Kobe.
Well, okay, yeah. The first three, but the last two.
Yeah. Right.
His team was Bynum and Gasol.
Correct.
And
Like, that wasn't no murderer's row.
No,
right?
No,
that
it wasn't.
Was him.
No, it wasn't. And again, he did. He won those two. So I mean,
taking out the centers, like, I go Jordan, Magic, and then, you know, Kobe, Bird, LeBron. I mean, he's in that category.
Correct.
And I call Duncan a center. You know, like, so he's in that conversation to me. So,
I mean, he's, again, you know, depending on where you draw the line, I have all the same guys. Duncan's close, you know, and then you start getting into Oscar Robertsons and people like that.
So I can't go before my...
Well, so...
How about just the last 25 years? I think in the last 25 years, you can argue he's the best player in the NBA.
You know, and so what set him apart is just that mindset. I just can't tell you how important I think it is, you know, the work ethic and the competitiveness and the will and the drive. And not that he had it every night. It's still the NBA. We saw him shut it down in Game 6 of the NBA Finals here when the Celtics won.
No question.
So that's not an uncommon thing. I mean, I think that happens in that sport, unfortunately, in that league. But, you know, so I'm not saying it's 1,000% or it's perfect, but... Unlike most, he had that mentality more than most guys, more than almost any guys, and he didn't have to have it. He was an NBA player's son, and the way he was pushing his daughter, and they were pushing themselves, and like the sport and sports and the team sports and winning, it meant a lot to him. And I don't think you can say that about every athlete out there.
And some of these clips that have showed up here since this whole thing broke, they're both great to watch because of what you're talking about. Like, it's him, you know, putting a body on his daughter, basically being like, what do you do here? How are you going to step back? And it's also gutting to watch, too, because, you know, it shows the guy was a good dad. He cared. He was trying to, you know, instill really good values and, you know, really that killer instinct when it came to basketball in his kids. And it's just, it's brutal.
I mean, he had a real bond with his daughter, you could
see,
over basketball, right? I mean, that was a real bond for them. And, you know, the guy is the other thing that struck me yesterday when I was reading all the comments on Twitter, and I saw the tweet by AC Milan, and I went, right, he grew up there.
Yeah.
He grew up in Italy. And you forget that Kobe's dad went and played overseas. He grew up in Italy. He speaks Italian. And I thought, he is really a guy that has had his foot in, like, a million different places in the world.
All right, so... let's play that clip you're talking about where he was. This is not a podcast. You know, can I ID it anymore? Your tweet didn't show what it was.
It was on someone's TikTok. It was, you know, someone just retweeted it. I don't really even know where this thing originated from, what this interview was from.
Okay.
Don't.
Okay. Oh, so, I, you know, forgive us, but it was, well, I mean, you'll hear it. He's talking to the interviewer, and I guess he's asked about his helicoptering because he does a lot of travel by helicopter, and this was in the last year or two. And, I mean, I don't even know where it is. I thought you knew where it was from or who it was.
Rex Chapman was the guy that tweeted it, but
the
he got
player,
it from someone
right?
else.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So this is an interview within the last couple of years where Kobe Bryant explaining why he takes these helicopters so much.
You know, after school activities, all that fun stuff, even on weekends. But then traffic started getting really, really bad, right? And I was sitting in traffic, and I wound up missing, like, a school play because I was sitting in traffic. And this thing just kept mounting. I had to figure out a way where I could still train and focus on the craft, but still not compromise family time. Mm. And so that's when I looked into helicopters and being able to get down and back in 15 minutes. Mm. And that's when it started. And so my routine was always the same. Weights early in the morning, kids to school, fly down, practice like crazy, do my extra work, media, everything I needed to do, fly back, get back in carpool line, pick the kids up. And my wife was like, listen, I can pick them up. I'm like, no. I want to do that because, like, you know, you have road trips and times where you're not... You don't see your kids, man.
Right.
You know, so like every chance I get to see them and spend time with them, even if it's 20 minutes in your car, like I want that.
Okay, so I feel he's genuine there, and I think it's proven by the fact that he's in a helicopter on Sunday morning taking his kid to the basketball tournament. And so it's, you know, you say it's complicated, or you had a love hate with Kobe when he was alive or competing against the Celtics, but it also shows you, you know. I don't know, there's just a lot of sides to everybody.
Of course, yes, yeah, he's a human being at the end of the day, and he had a lot of the same challenges that every other parent has. And, you know, the specifics were different, but the generalities were the same. And, you know, like that whole thing of, you know, to and from your kids' games and, no, I want to do it because the time in the car is the only time I get to talk to him. True.
Yeah, he's just trying to be more present in his daughter's life. And he hates traffic, which I can relate to, too.
Well, no, but
particularly as they creep into those teenage years.
If you've got kids, you know that sometimes that's all you get.
Right. that's and I say this, you know, in an amusing way. you have them hostage in the car, mm-hmm. right? So they can't escape you, and you're like, hey, put away your phone. I want to talk to you. And so that I get. When Murray sent that clip, I said, oh, my gosh, I get that.
So I think that part of it was totally genuine. And that's the part that hits home for me with this tragedy in Kobe Bryant. He was taking his kid to a basketball tournament. All right, so if you want to weigh in on Kobe, we're going to do it now to open up the show. So we'll take your calls on it right after these words. Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings from the Super Bowl.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Maz are live from the Miami Convention Center. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, you know, he means a lot to me, obviously. He was such a great opponent, you know. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that very few athletes can ever have.
Former Celtics coach Doc Rivers, about the DNA of Kobe Bryant, stands out to me as well. I think... things that stands out the most about him is that. All right, take your reaction to it to lead off the show here. Ian in New Bedford, what do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick points. I'm 26 years old. Both times I saw the Celtics play in the finals, it was against the Lakers. And, you know, as a New England sports fan, we've gone through a few championship losses, and I'll say that this Kobe Bryant loss hurts more than any of those. And just the other thing real quick, I mean, a few weeks ago I had heard that Luka Doncic was inbounding a ball, and Kobe Bryant actually talked smack to him in Slovenian. It was pretty crazy. So,
yeah, he speaks like three languages, right?
Yeah, no, and that's true. Like, Doncic turned around and said, who the hell said that? It was Kobe.
That's crazy. Alex and Methuen. Hi, Alex. Alex?
Hey, Mike.
Okay, sorry. Call's back. Sean and Quincy. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to say that I watch your guys' show as much as I can. I think you guys are great. On Kobe Bryant, I just think that it's really crazy on the loss of him. I was I'm 32 years old, so I got to watch the rivalry and everything else that that went through with Paul Pierce and Kobe Bryant and everything else. And I have a good friend of mine actually who's like best, that was really, pretty broken over this whole thing, So I just think it's kind of crazy, You guys get back to me.
Okay, Sean. I don't know what to add to that in terms of, you said before, Steve McNair. Like, what's the most impactful athlete passing we've had in the last,
This one's up there.
This is it.
Yeah.
He's on a level that's iconic, I mean, McNair was a name, but he's not what Kobe Bryant was to the world of sports. And like you said, you know, he grew up in Italy. I mean, this guy was an international superstar. This isn't just an American thing.
Yeah. And, you know, look, the first two calls here, 26 and 32 years old. Right, that's Kobe's wheelhouse.
Yeah,
I mean, those are
their Jordan. You're right.
Yeah, he's their Jordan, and I get that. And you know, it didn't. You know, people our age look at it and say, "Well, yeah, no, he's great. He's not Jordan, but he's great." They look at it and said, "I don't know what Jordan was. This guy's the best I've ever seen."
Eli and Haverhill, what do you got?
Hey, I'm glad you played the helicopter piece as to why Kobe started riding in helicopters. That's actually why I called, because your accomplishments in basketball, they stay on the court, but being a great father, stuff like that lasts forever. Two quick points. I think there's big changes going to come to the league. I think everyone's going to retire the number 24. I know the Mavs already did, and possibly a logo change, which I know that they entertained that idea a couple years back. So maybe this is the time. Thank you.
Logo change, meaning to make it not Jerry West, but a silhouette of Kobe Bryant?
Huh. I don't hate it.
I mean, I'd go Jordan.
I'd go no one.
Yeah, just leave it the way it is.
I mean, the thing you said, you know, you always say about naming things after people, they're going to disappoint you.
Of sure. course, yeah, inevitably they will. And look, the logo is what it is now.
I mean, like if we're talking about this, I wouldn't want to make the logo Jordan, because I think...
Well, so that's another one.
I think he's got
his flaws.
He's got a past that is, you know, potentially damaging to the league.
No question.
No, I mean, so like... And Kobe's got, you know, had his problems too and all of that, so... I don't know. I don't know if I go off and do that.
So the only thing with the NBA logo is that it's, you know, it's theorized that it's Jerry West.
Right.
Right?
They don't officially acknowledge that?
I don't think so, but it's a silhouette. It's not, there's no number on it.
Right.
And so you could, you know, it's not like naming a street after someone. But even so, look, the idea of retiring number 24 for every franchise, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking or worrying about all that kind of stuff. I mean... You know, I think individual franchises can do what they want. The league will obviously do something. You know, you can name an award after them if you want, like something like that.
Yep.
You know, and
I mean, there's a lot of people out there, Maz, who, you know, I don't know if you got emails like this. I know I did. I'm not on Twitter, but I'm sure it's out there. You know, don't give this guy any credit. He's an accused rapist, blah, 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 like all this. I guess he was not a good guy, and he shouldn't be celebrated. And, like, you know, you hear this, to which I say, well, but he also obviously had another side. And... Everyone makes mistakes, and his, you know, was a bad one. You know, that's worse than most. I'm not excusing it in any way, shape, or form. But there was obviously more to the guy than that.
Well, sure.
He was still obviously a family guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think, look, when you see all the stuff that he was starting to do later in his life and later in his career, and it's, you know, sad just to say that was later in his life, because he should be in the middle of his life still, that, you know, it looked like he was maturing. And really developing as a person. And there was even the whole tone of Kobe, like the vibe of Kobe was different. You know, he was always more brash as a player, in your face, screw you, I'm going to do it anyway. And I think that the Kobe, as he got into, you know, closer to 40 and into his 40s, really softened. And he was a different guy by then, as most people are.
Oh, he embraced being the bad guy. He was truly a villain, especially the Celtics fans and other fans throughout the league. Sixers fans, like, they hated Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, because of his ruthlessness. And that softened. Even his final season, which was...
Weren't they chanting MVP for him?
Yeah, here, which was, like, coming, yeah. Come on, in Boston, like, you're chanting for Kobe Bryant.
I was proud to.
Yeah, Jimmy.
I mean, the other thing, and not to, like, go too far down this road, he is truly one of the one-name superstars. Like, there is no other Kobe in any sport. Like, you say Kobe, everybody knows who you're talking about.
Phil and Malden, your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for the call. I know it's sad and everything, but I don't know if you heard the report. The National Transportation Board canceled a lot of flights in California yesterday.
And the police didn't, right. The police and the sheriff's department didn't send out their copters for weather reasons. So... Yeah.
I mean, they had received special approval to take off. So, you know, that opens up a whole other can of issues and questions and, you know, who gave the approval, why did they give it, you know, and all of that's probably going to come out as we go down the road here. But it did not feel like the conditions were all that great. So, you know, whoever approved it is going to get some scrutiny.
Dave in the car. Go ahead, Dave. David!
Oh, hold on.
Okay, Dave, you're not quite ready to go. I know Cam and Taunton's ready to go. Go ahead, Cam.
Guys, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, I'm 20. He's my generation's Kobe. I mean, Jordan. Everyone wore his shoes. Everyone wore his jersey. Even here in Boston when we all hated the Lakers. He is what made my generation fall in love with basketball. And, you know, Mike, you hit on his competitiveness. I've always said he's in a class of four guys in terms of that work ethic and that will, and he wanted to rip your heart out. It's him, it's Jordan, it's Tiger, and it's Brady. It's those four guys are a class of their own, and he had it, which was really something to behold. It's an unbelievable tragedy and a horrible loss.
And what I love, Cam, thanks for the call, is that he didn't have to have it. Like, Brady, sixth-round pick, no one thought he could do it, so he had that fire. And there's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys like that. I don't know what, you know, I can't really tell what Jordan's background was, but his dad wasn't in the NBA, that I know.
Right.
And
well, Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team.
Okay, so there you go. Kobe was drafted when he was 17.
Right.
I think he's the youngest draft pick ever.
Yeah, youngest guy to ever play in the league.
So, you know, his dad, and again, not that his dad was a superstar, but his dad was in the league. He was a, you know, superstar in high school. He was a, you know, lottery pick at the age of 17. I mean, you could have had all sorts of attitude there, meaning non-competitive, like, I'm the man, I've arrived. And for him to still have that competitiveness and want to rip your heart out is special, was the most special thing about him. And it just the what the sport meant to him and what winning meant to him and how I feel he was imparting that to his kids when his kids didn't need to have it either. And that really stood out to me, stands out to me. George and Methuen, go.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Tony. No, and what stands out to me, too, is how he was so the competitiveness in him, how he said at 17, I don't want to play for the Hornets when he got drafted. I'm going to play for the Lakers, and I'm going to be a star over there. And that's what he became. That's what I call elite athlete. Stay 20 years with the team. Unbelievable. It's just crazy to think that he's not here no more. To me, it's like, well, I did the same thing last night with my daughter, 215, when I heard the news with you guys. Not you guys, but me and the 12 o'clock guys.
I hear you, George. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, if you want to weigh in on Kobe throughout the day, you can. You can do it. We move on to other topics, but if you want to weigh in at any point in time, you are more than welcome. It is Felger and Maz here from the Super Bowl. We are here on a Reentry Monday. We're presented by East Boston Savings Bank on Reentry Monday. Maz, tell us about that.
Okay, again, just a reminder that Reentry Monday is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. So if you're looking to finance a home mortgage or a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1840. Murray's got your head.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mass are live from Radio Row on South Beach in Miami. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's start again with some football stuff. And again, you can weigh in on Kobe throughout the course of the day. Open phones for you on Kobe if you want it. But now let's get to the matter at hand for us here on Felger and Maz. This is reflected on the simulcast. We have gotten many shots of this, haven't we? Dave, Josh, guys?
I tweeted it out.
We are, and I've heard, if you've been listening to the station, you've heard this already. as luck would have it, or as unluck would have it, depending on which side of this you're on, we are under the biggest freaking Jimmy Garoppolo poster banner you could possibly imagine.
It is quite a thing, isn't it?
The G is for giant.
I mean,
we are crotch level to this giant.
I was just about to say that, Murray. I said if this poster continued on down, we'd be right about waist high.
We are right in the sweet spot. It's a combined. It's a giant banner covering, I don't know, how big is that? 50 feet wide?
Yeah, yeah.
Of the convention center wall with Garoppolo, Super Bowl 54, and then Mahomes. But we are right underneath. We are right in the crotchal region of a giant, massive Jimmy Garoppolo poster. Does it bother you, Murray? How sick are you that you have to look at that all week?
No, I get the sick joke of it when I saw our production crew tweet where we were set up over the week, and I was like, oh Jesus, of course,
all
of course
week, that's
we are
in your face. Yeah, all week,
he's
Murray.
Literally in my face. There you go. Take that, doubter. Take that, hater.
It's interesting that they chose him and not George Kittle, huh, Murray?
Yes, man.
Yeah. What happened to that? That's
I don't
right.
know.
What happened to that pitcher?
I don't know. They got to fire the person that got that made this banner and get the person that took control of their Instagram account and that put Kittle across from Patrick Mahomes to make a new big thing here for this whole setup.
Okay, so here at Felger and Maz, we more Maz than me, but I'm definitely on his boat, and Murray's definitely not. We are supporters of Jimmy Garoppolo. Does that bother you, Boston? Does that bother you? Why does it bother you, Murray?
I don't know, because it feels like you guys are so dug in. Like, we all get dug in on it.
We're dug in.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at this pretty objectively. You guys are looking. You're looking at this as this. What bugs me about it is that you guys are so convinced that Belichick got it right. Belichick got it right. And if you're so adamant about that, then why are you worried about Belichick finding the next guy? Because he's going to be able to do it. He's going to be able to find the next quarterback. What's the worry? Maybe he's already found it with Jared Stidham. And if not Stidham, maybe it's someone he drafts this year or next year. Why do you feel so upset that you lost out on the next great one in Jimmy Garoppolo? Because that's the thing. I think he's good. I just don't think he's the next great one the way that you guys talk about him.
But I don't. The thing that you just said, I am fully on board with Bill picking the next. I've pounded this relentlessly that I want Bill picking the next guy and turning the page and giving Bill as many swings at it as possible or just the longest runway. That's what I, you know, give him the most time possible to turn the page with the next quarterback because I want him doing it because I think he can do it.
Yeah, you've been more that way.
Thank you.
This one here, you lament over him like he's a lost love.
Well, look, because again, as much as I believe in Belichick, how many times did you hear me say, Murray, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to find the next quarterback. Everybody treats it like it's easy, but it's not. And when you have him, you should keep him. So that's why I feel as strong as I did about it. You had him in the palm of your hands. So you said, well, maybe Stidham is the next guy. Great. What if he's not? Then you got to pick another one. And then what if he's not? Then you got to pick another one. And now all of a sudden, here you go. So I understand that playing the position is easier than it ever has been before. But I also think if you give a guy like that to Belichick, boy, they were in good shape. They were in good shape.
I don't trust him to find the next guy. I don't think this was the next guy. And I know I'm going to be one of these people that's going to be butthurt about it anyway, because anyone after Brady is going to suck, and I'm going to get on him. But finding Tom Brady or any other great quarterback that can win a Super Bowl in this league, it's the equivalent of hitting Powerball. It's not.
Murray, you don't think he would have been.
Right, but that's all the more reason to keep him.
You don't think he would have been a good successor to Brady?
Fine. Yeah, you're 10-6, 11-5, you're competitive, but I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl with this guy.
So, well, we might.
So wait a minute. If Brady moves on and the Patriots go 11-5 with the next guy, you're going to hate that and think that sucks?
Let's see how it looks.
I mean, I just think you gotta get more realistic.
I mean, they were 12-4 this year, and Brady was here, and I hated every minute of it.
I know, it's so true. You did, yeah. I guess so. So, I mean, I don't know how anyone can argue that fact. I mean, I do. If he's Jared Goff, you know, who has a good one-loss record and went to the Super Bowl too, then I guess it's not good enough. But. Well, I don't think Goff's as bad as you do, by the way. But the whole thing, the crux of the argument, I thought, was that a good draft pick? Would he have been a worthy heir to Tom Brady? Did Bill get it right in terms of the pick and the guy and the transition? And I think the answer is clearly yes. I mean, I don't know how you can debate it. And now, is he great or just good? Is he overrated? Those are different arguments. Was it a good pick? Did Bill have the right successor in mind? And Brady just outlived it, so I don't blame him. for keeping Brady. But did Bill have that thing right? So this is why I don't need this game to tell me that or not. If Jimmy Garoppolo, his one loss record is 23-5 as a starter, two of those were with Belichick, but so he's 21-5. If he's 21-5 with Kyle Shanahan, you better believe he could be 21-5 with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I'm not that big of an a-hole. And look, I'm dug in on my take, and
debatable.
I'm going to be rooting against him on Sunday to fail and fail miserably. But in terms of finding a competent starting quarterback in the NFL, yes, he succeeded. He got it right with Jimmy Garoppolo. But I'm not looking for competent. I want great.
So the only problem with this picture up here of Garoppolo, this massive, beautiful picture of Jimmy Garoppolo, and it is the classic sort of candid of a quarterback because they have the same amount of Mahomes up just a few feet down, you know, dropping back, patting the ball, separating his hands, getting ready to throw. On his left finger, I don't see the rings, Murray. I don't see the rings, the two rings on his left finger. I don't see him.
Yeah, what I don't like and what makes it inaccurate is that it looks like he's about to throw. It should be getting ready to hand off because that's all that he's asked to do.
So for us on the show, for sure, and for many people in Boston, this game is about Garoppolo and kind of a litmus test.
Sure.
Right? Like, I mean, the anti-Garoppoloites are just waiting to pounce. Right, and they pounced in victory. Like, so they'll pounce if Garoppolo makes a big mistake in this game, and you know, the Chiefs win, etc. I mean, for me, it's kind of over. Like, even if he has a bad game, I still think Bill got it right. I still think he would have been a worthy successor. I think it would have worked here. And so, if he has a bad Super Bowl, I don't know how you erase. So then he's 23-6, and. Like, to me, that's kind of over. I don't need this game for that.
Yeah, so look, again, to me, the simple question is, can you win with them?
And could Bill have won with them?
Yes. I mean, it's indisputable, I think.
I thought so, too.
I think he needs this game to really prove the people like me wrong.
So Murray, I will say that if there becomes this pattern of Garoppolo being your classic 11-5 and then getting in the playoffs and gagging, then, you know, I will look at it and go, well, he wasn't great. And, maybe Bill wasn't enough to get him over that hump. I'd like to think that Bill would have helped him get there. But as of right now, I look at him and say, Belichick absolutely could have won with this guy. There's no two ways about it. He's 23-5.
I still think Bill's a better coach than Shanahan. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, that's a given.
Obviously, he is. I mean, what I mean by that is Shanahan's got a really nice offensive scheme. Like, I give him full marks for that. But I still think there's something big picture about and Murray just distracted me because something just came across. There's something big pitch about Belichick that he would have beat out of Garoppolo.
Absolutely.
And that Garoppolo throws a lot of balls that are, you know,
questionable.
Really questionable balls. And they're mostly over the middle. And Shanahan's got this beautiful running scheme, but does Kyle look at him and go, we're going to stop with those in cuts because you are susceptible on those in cuts. I mean, he could have thrown three interceptions against Minnesota on that play, on balls over the middle. And with Bill, he doesn't have the beautiful offensive scheme, but Bill would say, most of your trouble comes when you do this. And so we're not going to do this. We're going to do that.
Or they'd work on it and fix it. I wonder if someone like Shanahan or a lesser coach than Belichick like looks at that and is like, that's a detriment to your game. We're not even going to bother with it.
Exactly. And I think Bill has that great big picture sort of worldview of the game that he can just look at it from a distance and say, no, we're not doing that because you don't have that's not your strength. We're going to do this, and we're going to stay away from that. And my strong belief is that if Garoppolo were here in this time, he would not throw nearly the number of questionable balls that he throws in San Francisco. I think that's coaching. Okay, but so does Maz's support of Garoppolo bother you? Does Belichick's support of Garoppolo bother you? And when we come back, we have a development. This is what I was just distracted by, so I'll tease it. We have a development in the quarterback carousel across the NFL that could greatly impact Brady's situation and New England's situation. We'll give you that news and your calls on this right after these words.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Naz are live from the Miami Convention Center, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, Felger and Naz present a motivational Super Bowl text from Bill Belichick to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Sup, young king, crown emoji. In my opinion, always knew you would make it to the Super Bowl. Hard eyes emoji, eggplant emoji. Media night tonight, flash that smile for camera emoji. But don't be too thirsty to please and be all bougie like you know who. LOL, crying laughing emoji, goat emoji, send.
So good. So good. If you don't know the backstory there, it was reported in Sports Illustrated when they did a feature on Jimmy Garoppolo after, I guess he went 5-0 to close out his first year there and then signed the big contract. They did this big takeout feature on him. And in it, they revealed that last December, so this is now 2 years ago, last December following the trade, a sort of weekly ritual began. After each of Garoppolo's starts for the 49ers, he received a text from the coach who had traded him, congratulating him on another win. So Bill would text him after every game in San Francisco. That started, you know, the year before he got hurt. So now going back a couple of years. But it just sort of, you put that all together with Bill, you know, sort of handpicking his destination, giving him a good coach and what he thought would be a good team, keeping him out of that disaster in Cleveland, not really pushing for a return, just sort of handing him to a coach that he trusts in a system that he thought would be good for him, and then supporting him once he got there. It just tells you that Bill is as big a Jimmy Garoppolo fan as you this week, Maz.
Yeah, so again, a lot of those may have come like, I don't know, let's get creative. Monday morning, he texts Jimmy. Then he goes in and rips Brady in the pillow.
And at the time of this story, so again, you say this is 2 years ago, and at the time, I hated it, because this was Palace Q, things were really tumultuous.
Right, does this bother you?
Not anymore. It did at the time, because again, at the time, it felt like, screw Brady. Ugh, I don't want to deal with him. This is my football son. I have to tell him what's for and how proud I am of him. And at that time, it just felt so, it was unprecedented, really. Now, there's a lot at stake in terms of Bill's legacy. Not, I mean, the legacy's in place, but with Garoppolo, there's a lot at stake here. He has a lot invested, so I can understand it.
Had to piss Brady off, right?
Yes.
Had to piss
at that time. I don't know if it does.
Well, yes, because it just added to the whole mosaic of how he feels he's been treated here. The weapons, the contract. Garoppolo was here to begin with for as long as he was. They drafted him and kept him here again for 3+ years, etc. So just added to everything. It's probably on Brady's list somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, again, Tom versus time. If you don't feel appreciated, why are we doing this?
Meanwhile, Belichick sending sausage emojis to freaking Jimmy Garoppolo. So so does that bother you, Patriots fans? That's one thing I want to ask you. And the other thing, you know, that I'm curious about this week is, something tells me it's not just support. And I mentioned this before. My guess is Bill was going to help Jimmy with the game. And, I don't know how much that really goes on and what's appropriate and what's not, but I think there's some of it where coaches share information and et cetera, et cetera. And I would not be surprised one bit if those were bigger texts with Bill saying, you know, watch Tyron Matthew on the backside on this because he likes to do X, Y, and Z, et cetera, et cetera, because Bill's invested in this player.
Oh, yeah. What tendencies a certain player has, who bites on what, like that's going on. And at this point, like, I don't blame him because, again, if Garoppolo wins this Super Bowl, I mean, people like you, it's set. Like now he's found the next guy. And now that's Brady and Garoppolo. Well, it's another feather in the cap of the ridiculous career of Bill Belichick.
See, I don't need the game. Just to go back.
I know you don't.
I don't need the game. I think Bill got it right. I think he would have been a good successor to Brady.
I mean, between Garoppolo and Shanahan, he's definitely having conversation with them.
I would think.
Again, it's like his son and his godson over there.
And he loves the Shanahans.
Totally.
So, you know, something tells me that the Shanahans are getting the benefit of some Belichick intel this week. All right, what's that news that I teased, Murray? Some reporting out there.
Yeah, so some juicy stuff from Jay Glazer, who is reporting that the L.A. Chargers have, quote, moved on from quarterback Philip Rivers. Now Rivers is set to hit free agency after 16 seasons with the Chargers. He also says the New Orleans Saints believe that Taysom Hill is a franchise quarterback. But if Drew Brees wants to come back, they'll welcome him with open arms.
So
kind of vague on that one.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting tweet, too.
I mean, I heard Beadle and Zoe talking about the Drew Brees thing. He played in the Pro Bowl. Like, what big-time quarterback of that age plays in that stinking game? And the way he was, they were reading some of his comments about, you know, just want to be out here with the boys one last time. And sort of, it had the tonality of someone who was playing in the game because he knew he wouldn't be playing in very many more. If any more. Like, I mean, just the fact that he played, period.
Well, no, it's a good
or he's
point.
There to network.
Network with the networks. I mean, he doesn't need to network with the NFL. But, you know, so Drew Brees says he's going to take a month to figure it out. He's considering retirement. You know, he has said it. But on Philip Rivers, like, this was obvious when he moved the family to Florida.
No question.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's up. He's out. And San Diego, or LA is not, I can't fathom that L.A. is going to go into that stadium with their market conditions being what they are, the second fiddle to the Rams, having trouble selling tickets, needing to carve out market share in a new billion-dollar building. I can't believe that they would go into the season next year with Harry Schmedlap as their quarterback, meaning it's not going to be just another guy. They got to get a name. They have to get a star on that team to start competing with the Rams and start getting some market share. So I can't believe that they would settle on Teddy Bridgewater or Marcus Mariota or anything like that. I can't fathom they would do that.
Oh, no. They're going to go after someone big, and they're going to throw a pile of money at
him. To me, it's got to be Brees or Brady. If I'm the L.A. Chargers, it's Brees or Brady.
What about Cam Newton?
I'd go Brees or Brady.
Well, so would I. I'm just saying that.
So does Cam Newton move the needle out there? A little bit. Yep. Moves it a little bit.
It's a big name. You know, and a potential superstar.
But you've got to think that they're, and I'm sorry to cut you off, they're moving on from Philip Rivers, right? So I would like to think that they have something better in their back pocket. Otherwise, why would you move on from Philip Rivers just to get worse? Would you rather have Philip Rivers or Cam Newton as your quarterback?
Ooh, tough one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of close.
I'd go with Cam Newton just because of the age. If Cam Newton's healthy, I'm going with Cam Newton.
Yeah, and I think that's a big if.
Of course it is.
So I think I'd lean, my gut reaction's Philip Rivers.
So this is debatable. And so all I'm saying is, like, if you're the Chargers, would you move on from Philip Rivers just to get Cam Newton?
No.
No, but
if you're moving on from Philip Rivers, you have to have someone better coming in. You know what I'm saying? Like, clear cut.
Sure. I'm just wondering, you know, they may not have that choice. If Brady doesn't want to go and Brees doesn't want to go, where do you want to go? You know, where do you go from there? But that aside, if you're saying what's the order, Brady and Brees are at the top. And I told you, I would rather have Brady. Maybe they would rather have Brees because he's a couple years younger. But it would be one of those guys. I mean, that would move the needle in L.A.
Okay, first hour of Felger Maz and our Super Bowl coverage here on Radio Row in Miami Beach is presented by Woodbridge Wines. And, of course, Felger Maz always brought to you by DraftKings. I promise, to your phones on everything we've just discussed after Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials here.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.